Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's just stand one more time here before I start. And I want you this morning, think about the thing in your life right now that you have need of, whether it be healing, finances, relational, whatever's going on in your life, depression, whatever. Whatever is affecting your life and you're saying, Lord, I need your help. I need your answer. I want to, us as corporately right now, is come before the Lord Jesus and thank him right now for the answer. Yes. We don't even need to dwell on the problem. We don't need to dwell on anything. We just need to come before him with a thankful heart right now. And let's just out loud right now together, let's say, thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the answer in my life. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in my life. We thank you. We worship you for what you're going to be doing in our lives, Father. We praise you and we worship you and we magnify you. We praise your mighty name, Lord. You're here this morning. You're here and you're listening to the hearts of your people, Father. You're reading the hearts of your people, Father. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for what you are, have done and what you're going to be doing and what you're doing in our lives. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor, Father. We praise you, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, this morning we praise you. We thank you for what you are doing again. And Lord, what you're going to be doing in our lives, Father. And Lord, we ask that the anointing of your Holy Ghost will be here this morning and in an extra special way in each heart and life, Father. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch mothers' hearts this morning. And let him sense your power and your presence and your love and your grace and your mercy. Lord, that we carry that with us when we leave this place, Father, that we are ready to give to another heart, someone hurting, crying, suffering out beyond these walls, Lord, that we'll always be conscientious to be ready to give answer, Lord. That's why we come together here to worship you, to praise you, to meet you, Lord, that we can receive your heart, that we can be people of God. And we thank you. We commit this day to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm excited about Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm excited to see y'all here today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No man is poor who has a godly mother. Abraham Lincoln. Ruth Bell Graham said, as a mother, my job is to take care of the possible and trust God with the impossible. You can relate that one, huh? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. See, many of us can say the word mother, and it brings us fond memories of home and family and God and laughter and cooking and church and togetherness. But let us not forget that there are those out there that do not have these types of memories. There are those that are filled with hurt and bitterness, sorrow, and unforgiveness. And my prayers go out to all of those out there that experience distress and heartbreak at home. And may the Lord carry you through, and many of you find mothers in the church to replace the one you never had. See, a mother's job is never done. I remember one time my wife, we were discussing that. Some parents think when the child grows and they leave the home that the job is done. We have accomplished it. No, it's not. It's never done. Because children will constantly think about you and continually watch your life as you grow older too, even in their adulthood. And we always have to remember that. Praise the Lord. So motherhood today. Some of you are familiar with Calvin and Hobbes comic strip. The younger people aren't. Well, one Mother's Day, Calvin is pictured standing by his mother's bed. Hey, Mom, wake up. I made you Mother's Day card. My, how sweet of you, she says. I did it all by myself. Go ahead and read it. She begins to read. I was going to buy a card with hearts of pink and red, but then I thought I'd rather spend the money on me instead. It's awfully hard to buy things when one's allowance is so small. So I guess you're pretty lucky I got you anything at all. Happy Mother's Day. There, I've said it. Now I'm done. So how about getting out of bed and fixing breakfast for your son? Signed, Kelvin. I'm deeply moved, said Mother. Did you notice the part about my allowance? He asked. Well, some of you may feel like Kelvin's mother this morning, wonder if anybody's going to say thank you. Thank you, Mom, for all the good stuff you do in our lives. Let's just all just say thank you, Mom.
Thank you, Mom.
In case we forgot to say it, we're covered, right? Thank you, moms. See, being a mother is a tough job, and we recognize and honor that day. There's a lot that goes into being a mother. And a lot of times we take our mothers for granted through our life. I know I did, even as a young boy, my brothers and my sister. We take moms for granted many times. We don't sit back, especially as a child, and that's understandable. We don't realize what mom is doing, the worries and the things that she's going through to make a home and to help raise us and do the right thing. We don't realize how much effort and work goes into being a mother. But there's a lot that goes on there. Being a mother is a tough job, a tough job. Another illustration here, one Mother's Day, a for better or worse comic strip portrayed Michael's mother tossing and turning on her bed, thinking about her role as a mother, asking herself, am I too tough or am I too lenient? Do I give in too much or too seldom? Do I listen to what he has to say? Do I understand him? Do I nag him too much? Am I really a good parent? Any of you ever been there? Questioning your parent, being a parent. See, the last frame shows Michael lying on his bed saying, the problem with grown-ups is they think they know it all. No, Michael, we don't. We don't. In fact, especially in the world we live today, mothers recognize all too well that as they send their children off in the morning, all kinds of things lie in wait to waylay them, especially in this world that we have today. Things like drugs and gangs and alcohol and pornography. I just saw on Fox News the other day, a young gal gets off a bus and another guy gets off the bus with her and follows her into her home and forces himself in there trying to molest her. There's all kinds of things in this world we're living in right now. In the past, our educational system encouraged the development of Christian principles and attitudes. Us that are older in here, do you remember those times? Do you remember when you'd go to school and you would have opportunities to pray? Do you remember that when the Gideons would come in and hand out Bibles? We had that type of thing. They don't have that in schools anymore. See, too often children are being taught that there are no absolute standards of right and wrong today. Anything goes and everything is permissible as long as it feels good. So it's difficult being a Christian mother today. But as hard as that may be, we need to realize that difficulties are not unique in our time either. In every age, motherhood has had its share of difficulties. And for example, let's look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, and consider some of the difficulties she faced and apply them. I don't know about you, but growing up, I remember the Christmas program when we'd have the manger scene and everything, Jesus in a manger and in the star, and everything was so nice. And boy, I thought, What a neat life. How nice and perfect everything was. But there was more to it than that. See, the difficulties Mary faced, first of all, she faced the difficulty of a tarnished reputation. Mary was pregnant out of wedlock. Now, we know the rest of the story, don't we? And that child in her womb was of the Holy Spirit and was the Son of God. But do you think they believed that story in that little town of Nazareth? You think they believed it? If you came from a small town like I did, I know my wife did too, you know, a small town, that would be juicy gossip. That would be juicy gossip. And that's a hot item in a small town, people. And here's this unmarried teenage girl expecting a child. Oh, how the gossips must have enjoyed talking about them, huh? In fact, 30 years later, when Jesus was beginning his ministry, his enemy said to him, we are not illegitimate children. It says in John chapter 8:41, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. See, they're trying to twist Jesus a little, twist the knife in there a little bit. And on this Mother's Day, you may not feel too comfortable. Maybe there's some things in your past that you're not very proud of and you feel guilty. Maybe there are dark skeletons in your closet and you feel unworthy as a mother. And let me remind you, when asking for forgiveness and repenting, God not only forgives people, but he forgets. Isn't that awesome? That's the God we serve. Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That's got to be comfort and peace when we come before God and he says he will forgive us and forget our sins and our iniquities and all the things we've done in our past that have been wrong and sinful in our life. And when we come before this loving God, he says he forgives and he forgets when we come to him with a heart of repentance. Hebrews 10:17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember them no more. So if you're a mother in here, you know a mother that has had difficulties in her past and she's lived a life that was not pleasing to God, but she repented at one point of her life, God forgave her and forgot all about it. Isn't that awesome? I'm excited about serving a God like that, people, because he's a loving God. He's a merciful God. He's a kind and giving God. So you need to encourage your children not to repeat the mistakes maybe you made. We got to encourage them, right? But help them realize that God is a God of mercy and grace. And we got to challenge our children to come before Jesus. When they've fallen or they've sinned in their life, we don't condemn them. We tell them to run to Jesus. And we tell them about this loving God that when we come before him and say, Jesus, forgive me for what I've done, he says that he's faithful to forgive. And we need to ingrain that in our children's hearts so deep that when they're walking through life and things come against them and they do sin and they do drop the ball and they do things wrong, that they can run to a Jesus and say, Jesus, forgive me. And God will forgive and forget. Secondly, Mary experienced the difficulty of poverty. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Wow. See, he was the creator of the entire cosmos with all of its infinite riches. That was Jesus. Yet he left it all to die a cruel death, utterly impoverished. Even his meager garments, when he hung on the cross, they were stripped away from him. He was truly poor for us. I tend to think that we don't realize how poor Mary and Joseph were. When Jesus was brought to the temple as a baby for the first time, it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. See, Joseph, despite his royal lineage, was only a carpenter, too poor to bring a lamb for his offering. They were poor. Are you poor? Are you poor today? If you've experienced the pressure of trying to buy your things for your children, the right running shoes, the right designer clothes, and all the other things that they may want very much. I remember raising my daughter. There's times when she wanted it. When the kids go to school, they get that peer pressure. And they go there and they want certain things in their life. And you pay $100 even back then for a pair of little kids' jeans about this long, when we could find them for 50 cents at the Goodwill or someplace like that. Well, no matter how big the tears were running, no matter how loud the screams might have been, the 50-cent ones won out. Amen? We teach our children. It takes time to teach them that life does not consist of the abundance of things we possess. We got to put that in their little hearts. Kids today, even young people today, I'm amazed. You know, when we were growing up, we had young, when we were teenagers, we didn't have, my folks were poor. And today I see young kids that are 16, 17, 18 years old driving around in BMWs, convertibles, all the things that, boy, that would have been fun at my age. Boom. But they got them today. And we need to teach those young people. We need to teach them. Teach them that there are other things that are much more important. Eternal things. We can't see that will last forever and ever. We got to continue to teach our children that. That life will not go on forever the way they think. There's an illustration of a lady named Jean Barron spent several years living in a little mobile home that was pretty dilapidated. She tells about raising her kids in that kind of an environment. Then one day her son came home and announced that his best friend had run away from home. Jean Barron said, "I looked at my child and said, I don't understand. He lives in such a nice house and seems to have everything any child could want. Why did he run away?" Her son answered, "Well, in their home, they have a lot of environment, but not very much love. In our home, we have lots of love, but not very much environment." That was a wise little guy, huh? See, love is something we can give, isn't it? It doesn't cost us anything. It doesn't cost money. It just costs time, attention, and emotion. That's what we give is love. Thirdly, Mary faced the difficulty of people's hatred for her child, even at his birth. It says in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Matthew 2:13 says that, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.'" See, when Jesus was born, evil was set in motion several times to do away with him. And the same thing happens when a child is born today. For Satan sees that child is God's gift to you. Look what is happening to children in our culture today. We need godly mothers in the home today to touch these young people, these young children that God has entrusted into their lives. Psalms 127:3 says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Satan knows that the quickest way to destroy your family is to attack your child who doesn't have the maturity or the power to deal with him. Think what we hear today with children that are being attacked and destroyed in many cases. Look at the children, almost 60 million in the womb that have been aborted. In the womb. And you know, sad to say, we have adult children today that are being attacked by the enemy too. Satan never gives up just because we grow up and become adults. Satan attacks our adult children too. And mothers, don't get off your knees too soon. You got work to do. And that work continues to the day you die or Jesus comes back. Moms, you are important in the home more than you'll ever realize. Jesus said of Satan in John 8:44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." See, to protect your children in their vulnerable years, you may have to curtail the television, the computer, the iPad, the iPhone, what's being viewed in your living room or in your child's bedroom. You may even have to shut them off. And that goes for the big children too. Maybe it's time that we shut some of this stuff off in our own home if we're dealing with some things in our own lives that we are not getting victory over. Maybe we need to turn the pornography off. Maybe we need to turn the dirty movies off. Maybe we got to quit listening to things that use our God's name in vain and tell God that we need to worship Him. We need to do the same thing as we expect our little children to do. I'm amazed sometimes how many parents will sit in a home, a mom or a dad will sit in a home and watch things they shouldn't be putting their eyes on and let their children sit next to them and doing it. We shouldn't do that. We shouldn't do that, people. By the way, that's not popular to say that kind of stuff today. Did you know that? But see, I don't care. I'm more concerned about a human life than I am about what people think. You may have to go to school once in a while and talk to teachers and administrators about your children and what they're being taught. Do you realize, people, I don't know if you watch what's going on and listen to what's going on the social media or whatever on the news, but children are being invaded right in the school systems today. They're being invaded with the homosexuality gender, the transgender things. They're putting signs up in schools now in specific rooms that protect them that are saying that, and our kids are being ingrained with these things. Moms, you've got to get the Word of God into the hearts of your children. You need to not only be in prayer for your own, but be in prayer for other children as well. Satan is out to destroy the family, out to destroy our children, and we need to be on the alert. You will need to discipline them and train them to respect adults and authority and to grow up to be strong Christian men and women. Now, my daughter's sitting right back there, so I'm not telling a lie or anything. She got spanked when she needed it. She didn't need it a lot, but she did get spanked. Because Scripture teaches, spare the rod, you spoil the child. And I tell you, when I was being raised, my brothers and sister, we all know what the rod was. And when Mom and Dad came after us, we knew why? But see, doesn't that help you want to live the straight and narrow? And we need to do that even today, no matter what society is saying. One other difficulty Mary experienced was being a single mom. We don't know what happened to Joseph. Many scholars assume that he must have died when Jesus was in his late teens or early 20s, for the last time he is mentioned was when Jesus was 12 years old in the temple. That was the last time he was mentioned. After that trip, Joseph is never mentioned again. So Mary became a single mom, raising Jesus and their other children by herself. And what I want to say, if there are any single moms in here this morning, we appreciate you and we love you. No matter what the choices or circumstances of life have put you there, we love you at Crossfire Assembly. And if you know of any single moms out there that are hurting, tell them they can come to a place where they will be loved and taught the Word of God in truth. See, when you're a single mom, you're having to be both mom and dad to your kids, aren't you? And when you get up each and every day and go through all the work and getting your children ready, and we pray that the Lord will continue to guide and give you the strength to fulfill that great responsibility. You're doing double work every single day, single moms. And we need to lift them up in prayer. And then Mary had resources also. Mary faced many difficulties, but she also had some valuable resources too. Her first resource was a strong commitment to doing God's will. Mom, have a strong commitment to the things of God and His Word. Her first resource was that strong commitment. It says in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Then in verse 38, and Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. She submitted to God. See, Mary knew that the baby in her womb was God's only begotten son, and that by giving birth to Jesus, she was doing exactly what God commissioned her to do. We need a nation right now where we need moms that are committed to the word of God. We need a nation where moms are on their knees praying. We need a nation where moms are obeying what God says in his word, how to be a mom. There's a lot of children out there that are going astray. Mary knew that the baby in her womb was God's only begotten son, that by giving birth to Jesus, she was doing exactly what God commissioned her to do. James Keller says, every mother has the breathtaking privilege of sharing with God in the creation of a new life. I like that. And when God places a child or a children in your arms, his will for you is to bring them up in a home where they will know God and his word and Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Don't let the TV do the work for you. Don't let the preacher do the work for you. Don't let somebody else fill in for what you should be doing. I like in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sit in thine house, and when thou walk by the way, and when thou lie down, and when thou rises up." That's what mothers do, and fathers too. We need to do more of that. We need not be afraid of little Johnny and Susie saying, "Quit talking to me about Jesus all the time." We need to continue doing it. We need to continue doing it. I thought that's a pretty good imitation of a little kid. I thought that would have brought more amens than anything. John Bunyan made an interesting comment about prayer. You can do more than pray after you prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you've prayed. How are you praying for your children? How are you praying for them? And have you asked them to pray for you? That's important too. Children need to be taught they need to pray for others as well. And it's okay to say to them in your home, "Will you pray for mommy today? Will you pray for me? I'm going through a hard time today. Maybe the bills aren't being met. Maybe there's sickness in your body. Maybe there's things that mom is struggling with. And maybe that little child needs to take their thought off themselves and put it upon the mommy or the daddy or the home." Secondly, she had the resource of Jesus being an obedient child. Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." That's Jesus. That's why we can run to Jesus. He was sinless. Mary had the wonderful blessing of a child who was obedient. The best thing children can give mom on Mother's Day is to be obedient. That's what you can give mom. That's what you can give mom. It's better than cards. It's better than flowers. It's better than chocolates. Just being a loving and obedient child. And that's commanded in Scripture, by the way, too, young people. Ephesians 6:1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Colossians 3:20, "Children, obey your parents in all things." Did you hear that? Even if you don't agree with it, in all things. You don't say, no, in all things, you obey mommy and daddy, according to Scripture here. "For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." See, when you obey your moms and dads, and when you're, I'll say mommy's today just because it's mommy's day. When you obey your mother, Your Heavenly Father, who created you, also looks at you and he's pleased in his heart. Because you are obeying Mommy. When Mommy says something, even if you don't agree with it or you don't like it, you do it because your Heavenly Father is pleased with you and you obey your moms. That's how we do it. We obey our Heavenly Father. And it's fun to think about our Heavenly Father with that big smile, saying, "That's my little daughter. That's my little son. They're doing what I've asked them to do." And Luke tells us that Jesus was obedient to them. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them." Jesus obeyed his parents. Oh, he was tempted, young people. He was tempted. The scriptures teach that. He was tempted to be a naughty boy. But he was subject unto his parents. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Mom was pondering in her heart. See, we don't always do the right thing, do we, people? But it would be great, wouldn't it, to have an obedient child? That's why we teach them the Word of God and we don't compromise one bit. We don't compromise. We do it in a loving way, but we don't compromise in our home. Children know that. I remember when we were younger and newer Christian too, I used one word that was not a nice word to use. Not a real bad word. Well, they're all bad if they're not right. But I was angry. And my daughter sat there and began to cry. Because she couldn't believe Daddy used a word like that in front of her. And that impacted me to realize how important my training and my wife's training and teaching in her life was, that every little thing I do affected her in her thought, in her action or emotion, by how I reacted to life's problems around me too. And people, that even goes for our older adult children too. Even if they're rebellious in their life right now, moms, if you're sitting in here and you have some older grown-up children, they're still watching you. They're still watching how you're handling growing old. They're watching how you're dealing with life situations. They're watching you when they know you're not pleased with how they may be living, but you're still loving them. They're watching that love. And we need to remember that too. It still amazes me in the world we live today how people are living into their 80s and 90s, aren't they? And then you hear testimonies, you got children getting on TV and they're 65 or 70 years old talking to their mom and their dad. And the mommy looks over and says, "There's my little baby." And the guy's all crinkled up and old, you know. But then that's what little babies are too, aren't they? They're all crinkled up. So she still sees them as a little baby. Thirdly, she had a supportive husband. Now, again, we know that Joseph was with her for 12 years and probably a few years longer before he died. But however much time God allowed them to be together, it's obvious that Joseph was a supportive father to Mary. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, 24, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife." So I've always imagined that Joseph was a caring, supportive man in Mary's life who was there for her whenever she needed him. He was willing to take her on, even with the gossip going on in Nazareth and all the ridicule. May I say to all the husbands and fathers here, the best thing you can give your wife, the mother of your children today, is not flowers and chocolates and cards, but to be a supportive of her. To pray for her, to encourage her, and to always be there for her. That's what fathers need to do. We need to lift our wives up in prayer. We need not look at and be critical of the little faults and defects that we have too. We need to put those things aside and let the Holy Spirit begin to move in our hearts and begin to love our wives in the home, because children watch that, how we treat our mothers and our wives. They watch and they listen. And if you're not doing that, you need to start doing it and to repent of it and ask God to help you to do it, because we're not all perfect. We're all changing shapes and sizes as we get older, and that shouldn't have an impact on how we live and pray for our family, because through better or worse, right? And we do those things. And I believe Joseph may have been that type of a man. Billy Graham says his favorite story is of a husband who is not very attentive to his wife. But one day he started feeling guilty about that and decided to change. So on his way home from work, he bought a box of candy and some flowers to surprise his wife. He walks up to the door and rings the doorbell. She opens it, and there he stands, candy in one hand, flowers in the other, singing, "I love you truly, truly, dear, I love you." Instantly, she starts crying. Big old tears just gushing out of her eyes, she sobs. "Oh, Harry, everything went wrong today. We had a leak in the plumbing. The kids were terrible. The house is a wreck. And now you come home drunk." That really drives the point home, doesn't it? So be careful how supportive you are. Sometimes you may need to slip into it just a step at a time if you haven't been doing it. But be a good supportive husband. Amen?
Amen?
And then finally, she had a close friend who encouraged her. In Luke chapter 1, 42 tells us that, "And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." See, if you remember the story, as Mary is expecting Jesus, she went to be with Elizabeth, an older woman who was also expecting a miracle birth with her as well. And it's one of my favorite people that God created that lived his life out in the scripture. That's John the Baptist. And they spent about 6 months together encouraging one another. See, in Hebrews chapter 3, 13, "But exhort one another daily." The Bible says, "While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." We're to exhort one another. We need to exhort moms today. We need to exhort them some way, somehow. Maybe it's cleaning a bathroom, or maybe it's doing something nice, or maybe it's just hugging them and telling them you love them, or maybe it's just saying you've been the best mom ever. We need to do those things. Amen? Mary had that. So we need to encourage moms today and help them realize they're doing a job that no one else could do. Mary was rewarded for her faithfulness as a mother. She was there to see Jesus resurrected from the dead. And the God who rewarded her has promised to reward us too. Folks, Mother's Day is kind of a mixed bag, isn't it? Mother's Day and Father's Day for me personally is always hard to think about a message, because there's so many things going on and has gone in people's lives, all the different things that had happened. If you had a poor relationship with your mother, you may feel a bit guilty and wish somehow you could undo that. If you're childless, you lost a child, or by miscarriage, you may feel empty and perhaps unfulfilled. If you've experienced the death of your mother, this could be a day of mourning and grieving. As you miss her. How you'd like to talk to her again. There's people in this congregation that lost their mothers. And my heart goes out to you. Mine was one of them. But here's the good news. I got good news. We may have an imperfect families here, right? But one day we'll have a perfect family in heaven with God our Father and Jesus our elder brother. We're going to be with them throughout all eternity. And he's going to take away the hurt, the loneliness, the emptiness, all the trials, all the tribulations. They're going to be gone for all eternity. Gentlemen, you may start for communion also. We're going to be living in a perfect environment. Isn't that exciting to know that? And with all this has gone before, that we're born again, all of our loved ones who are born again that have gone before us, they're there waiting. They're there waiting. Hallelujah. What an awesome time heaven is going to be. But most of all, to see Jesus. That's going to be so incredible. So hang in there, mothers. God's power is in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And he will help you as a mother, and he'll help your children. Or if your children are growing, he will help you to maintain a steadfast walk in what you're doing as your children are growing, or maybe they're grown adults now. Praise the Lord. Well, they're passing out communion. Is there anybody in here right now? If you just like, ladies, anybody, guys, you want to just say your mom's name and give a testimony, I'd like you to do that while they're passing out communion, as honoring your mother, your wife. Anybody want to do that? Okay. Come on. Is there anybody who wants to honor your mom? Just say her name and... Okay. Praise the Lord. Those are names that are written down. Anna. Well.
Claire.
Claire. All precious names that God knows. Created. Okay. Praise the Lord. My mom was Theodora.
Eunice,
okay. Beautiful names. Beautiful names. Hallelujah. Beautiful names. Beautiful names. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Prepare your hearts, people. If there's anything in your heart that you need to get right with Jesus, please do it before you partake. Let the Lord examine. You examine your heart. Let the Holy Spirit move. Young person, if you're in here and you're taking communion, if you've been disobedient to your parents, you need to ask Jesus to forgive you. I'm going to be straight and honest with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. If you have any sickness in your body, disease or anything too, now is the time to again thank Jesus. It says in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23-32, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." See, the bread here is a symbol of Jesus' body, and this bread is broken. So his body was marred and striped, as it says in Isaiah 53:5 and 1 Peter 2:24. Let's all partake. Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. Hallelujah. Lord, throughout our busy days, help us to remember you. And then after the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." This is a symbol of his blood, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. Let's all partake. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming and dying on a cruel cross for our sins, Father, for our disobedience and rebellion. You died, you took upon yourself, and you washed our sins away in that precious blood. And we thank you so much, Lord. We praise you. Now I'd like all the mothers, ladies, all come down front, please. All the ladies, come forth, please. Amy, you go down there and stand with them. We don't need the music. We're going to be a New Testament church with no organ. They didn't have it back during Jesus' time. And Holy Ghost still moved. Young ladies, I want you to come forward too, young girls. I want you to come up and stand up here. If your mom's up here, you stand with her. Or if you're not, I want you all the ladies. I want the ladies to come up here. The reason I want you to do that is we want to honor you as husbands, brothers, wives, grandpas, whatever we're here today. Because, see, all these precious ladies up here today, these moms, grandmothers, Satan hates them with a passion. Because they take part of what God does, creation. And he wants us to dishonor our women. That's what's happening today in the world. Women are being dishonored. Mothers are being dishonored and cheapened through this world. But we as a body of Christ, we want to tell you ladies, your moms, daughters, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, if there's any here, we love you. As men, we love you. And we thank God for your lives. And I want the gentlemen to please stand as we pray for the ladies too, in honor of the mothers today. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, right now, Father, while we're standing here, you're here with us and you see all these precious ladies that you created. Lord, you're looking at all the heartaches they've gone through and all the struggles of life. And Lord, you see the joys that they experience. And Lord, every step of the way, you're with them. For your word says you will never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, you will never leave these ladies, these moms, these sisters, aunts, whatever position they are up here today, Lord. You see their hearts. And Lord, you want to do so much more within them. You want them to see you at work in their lives, Father, in the days ahead. And Lord, we lift them up in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that your joy will fulfill their hearts and lives, that it be a strength in them, Lord. We pray that your anointing will be upon them as women and young girls, Lord, that the anointing be upon them. And Lord, we ask that the blood of Jesus Christ be over each and every one of them, the older, the younger, the middle age. We pray the blood of Jesus, Lord, that there be a hedge of protection over their lives, over their minds, over their hearts, over their homes. And Lord, give them the wisdom they need and the understanding they need in life. And Lord, surround their homes with husbands who will lift them up and pray. And daily, Lord, they lift these ladies up in prayer and continue to pray your blessings upon their lives. And we thank you, Father, for our mothers. And those that are not with us today, we praise you. We glorify you, Father. And Lord, we ask your continued work in their hearts and help us as men also to love our wives, to love our mothers. And we praise you, we thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now. And now we're going to have the whoever is supposed to hand a rose, a flower out to each mom here today. Do we have enough for everybody?
Yep, we should.
And look, one woman came and grabbed them all. Ladies, we love you guys. Let's clap for our moms today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All the beautiful ladies up here today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Is all the moms got? All the ladies got? Now, if there's enough, the young ladies get one too. I knew they were standing there. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name again, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for mothers all around the world today. Lord, we pray you will send revival to mothers' hearts and lives and revival into our great nation. Lord, restore homes, Father. We praise you and thank you, Lord. I pray again that every home represented here, that your mighty hand of grace and mercy will flow through it, Father, and bring homes together, bring love into the homes in a greater way. Let us love one another as the body of Christ. Meet all the needs physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually in each and every heart today, Lord. And we praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Lord bless. Have a great time of fellowship. Praise the Lord.